Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
My grandpa sleeps naked. My name is Jake, and I promise that I will come back into play. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. Vince is out of town. He's in the Dominican Republic training some pastors down there. So today, you are stuck with me and thoughts like that. Have you ever been so tired that you can't sleep? I mean, maybe it's been a really long week. Your boss put some unmeetable deadlines in front of you. You and your spouse got into it over the dishes or the trash. Your kids decided to redecorate their room with glue and glitter. Maybe your dog relieved himself in the middle of the living room and, in front of a dinner party or something. Or maybe your long-lost cousin from Arkansas finally left and took his three pet squirrels with him. But whatever the circumstance, we've all had those weeks, right, where we find ourselves at the end of a really, really long week, settling into bed and laying there wide awake. Has anybody ever had those moments? Honestly, let's be it. Now, I'm not talking about, there are sleep disorders out there. Insomnia can be caused by, sleep apnea, stress, restless leg syndrome. All these things can actually be sleep disorders. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those times when you're concentrating so hard on falling asleep that it seems like concentrating on it is the very thing that is keeping you from doing it. And experts disagree on the different reasons that keep us from falling asleep, but they all agree that there are a few things that definitely keep us from falling asleep. If the climate of the room, if it's too hot or too cold, that would keep you from falling asleep. The amount of stimulants in the room, how much light is going on, how much sound is happening. Keep trying, you'll make it. The comfort level of your bed, all of these different things might be a factor that keeps you from falling asleep. I was reading on a website this week, and it says if you use your bed for other activities, that will keep you from falling asleep. Not those activities. Talk about like if that's where you answer all your email or do the work that you bring home or write letters, that what you're doing is you're training your brain that when you're in bed, you should be doing something other than sleep. So when it's time to go to sleep, you can't do it. The problem is sleeping. It's not really a habit. I mean, sleeping was almost quite literally a thing you were born doing. Or if you have kids, you know that the first couple weeks of their life, they sleep 18 to 20 hours of the day. Unfortunately, the hours they're awake are usually between like 1 and 5 a.m., but, it's the way it goes. We were made to sleep. Our body naturally wants to go to sleep. And just like eating, if you don't get enough sleep, it can have serious effects on your life. As a matter of fact, there was a researcher in the 1980s for the University of Chicago. His name is Alan Rechtschaffen. I don't know. That's as close as I could get. He conducted a series of experiments where he actually had these rats that he deprived sleep from. And within 32 days of not sleeping, every single rat was dead. Now, they've never done this study on a human being, thank goodness. But the experts say that what happens is that with as long as you go without sleep, your core body temperature lowers, and that it can get to a point where you would experience hypothermia that would lead to death. See, sleep. You don't have to tell your body to do it. It's something your body wants to do. But then why can it be so hard? How come sometimes we have such trouble falling asleep? Well, I would say it's because we don't always follow the right habits to put ourselves in the right environment for sleep. How many of you kind of follow the same routine when getting ready to bed and trying to fall asleep? Like 3, 4, 5, okay, the rest of you are probably going to have problems falling asleep. They say that's the way that you fall asleep, that you have a certain side of the bed that you sleep on, a certain number of pillows, roughly a certain time of the day that you go to sleep. And if you kind of do the same thing consistently over and over, you're creating the right habits to create the right environment for sleep. For me, wherever we're at, I always sleep on the side of the bed that's nearest the door. So at our house, that's on the left side of the bed. If we're in a hotel, if we're staying at friend's house or visiting family or something like that, whatever side of the bed is closest to the door, that's the side of the bed that I sleep on. It's one of our habits. And when we got married, I told my wife that this was so if, you know, someone broke through the door that I'd be there to protect her. Because, you know, if you're breaking into my house, this is like the intimidating thing that's going to cause you to stop. Actually, the truth is, my fear is that the intruder is going to come through the window, and I just want the quickest escape. You know, they say when a bear is chasing your group, you don't have to be the fastest, you just can't be the slowest, you know? Kind of apply that to that fear. But I'm a two-pillower. Anybody else a two-pillower? We got any other two-pillowers in this room? A couple, two, three? Yeah. Most people, when they use two pillows, I'm going to guess that the majority of people in here, if you're using two pillows, either it's because you like to have your head propped up kind of high, like you have one and then you put the other one kind of at a certain angle so you can kind of have a super elevated head, or you probably like to snuggle, that you kind of use it to spoon with there. My wife, a few years ago when we got pregnant with our first child, she bought this pillow. It's kind of like odd-shaped pillow that you put like between your knees that's supposed to help alleviate tension or something or whatever. 4 years later, it's still in our bed. And she's named it Edward. Some nights, I don't think she can decide if she's on Team Edward or Team Jacob. So if you didn't get that joke, God bless you. I have hope for the world because there are people in here who didn't get that joke, and I appreciate that. I'm a two-pillower, but it's not for either of those reasons. Mine's a very strange, odd reason. I like to have that other pillow directly on my face. I like to lay on my back and put that pillow on top of my face. Not like over my mouth and my nose, but just laying on top of my face. And I have absolutely no explanation for this whatsoever. I wasn't abducted by some strange face-covering tribe as a kid or anything like that. I'm just a really strange person, I guess. The odd thing is, though, it runs in our family. A couple nights ago, we went in and found our daughter, and she was like this, with a pillow on her face. And then my son, it's not a pillow, but he's got a little snuggie there that covers. Aw, I love my son. Apparently my dog's into it too. So I can't explain it, but it's true. And I have a tough time falling asleep if that's not there. But, you know, sleeping, it is natural, right? I mean, but it will only happen if we follow these right habits to put ourselves in the right position for sleep. We're in the middle of this new series called the Sleep Series. And last week, Vince talked about waking up. He talked about the fact that God sent his son Jesus into this world as a wake-up call to let us know that there is a life that can be accessed, a spiritual life that can be accessed through a relationship with Jesus. It's what our name means, verb. It means enthusiastic, passionate life. It's what we are pursuing here. And if you weren't here last week, I encourage you, if you ever miss a week here, you can go on our website, vivaliverb.org, and you can stream the previous week's sermons right there. Or yeah, you can go on iTunes, you can subscribe to them and put it on your music player, your iPod, or whatever. And so if you ever miss a week, you can always catch up there. So if last week we talked about waking up, then this week what I want to talk about is going to sleep. Because I believe that we were made to have a relationship with God. And I'm guessing by the fact that you're here, that your very presence here kind of connotates that somewhere inside of you, you believe that too. And at the very least, it piques your interest. That somewhere inside of you, you say, okay, that might be true. That might be true, that there might be this life that I can access through a relationship with Jesus. And I'm telling you that that life is as natural as going to sleep. That we were made to grow spiritually. The Bible tells us that when we were created in the image of God. That we were made different from every other living being on this earth. That we were created to have a relationship with God, and that we were created to grow in that relationship. So if that's what we were created for, it should be the most natural thing in the world, as natural as sleep. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's saying the natural thing to do is to grow in grace and knowledge, these two separate areas. Grace, that means to grow, in essence, it means to grow to be more like Jesus. And the knowledge is to grow to know more about him. So that it should be natural to grow to be more like Jesus and to grow to be more like him. So spiritual growth, this spiritual life growth, that's our goal. It's what we are made to do. Then why is it so hard? Well, I would contend that's because we subscribe to a myth. If you were to ask someone sitting next to you, hey, are you going to grow in your spiritual life this year? That probably the majority of people in here are going to say, yeah, I'm going to grow in my spiritual life. And you say, well, how? And the myth that I think we often subscribe to when it comes to our spiritual life is the because I want to really bad myth. And it's funny because our spiritual life is about the only place in our lives that we apply this to. And if you look at it and you try to apply it to any other area of your life, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, let's say that I wanted to get physically fit. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's possible to be more physically fit than you already are. I know. But yes, let's just pretend that we live in some world where it's possible to be more physically fit than this. And you said, Jake, how are you going to do that? You want to lose a few pounds. How are you going to do that? If I looked at you and said, well, it's because I really want to, that you would say, good luck, Tubby. Right? I mean, this past week, my wife and I, we said, you know what? We want to start getting up early and spending some time together, go on a walk before the kids get up, and just spend 20 to 30 minutes together. And we really, really wanted to do it. So Monday, we did it. We got up. Alarm went off. We got up. We were happy. We went out there, walked around the block a couple times. It was great. And so we were like, yep, we want to do this. We're really going to do this. Tuesday, alarm goes off. Boop. Snooze comes on, right? Wednesday, alarm goes off. Boop. Snooze goes on. Thursday, alarm goes off. Boop. You get the picture. Now, we really wanted to do it. I set the alarm and everything. But why didn't we do it? That myth, if you apply it to other things, if you wanted to get good grades at school, you're not going to get good grades because you really want to. Or let's say you're hungry, and your stomach is rumbling, and you're like, you know what? I know the fix. I'm just going to really want to not be hungry anymore. Is that going to work? No, it's not going to work. Why? Because that's a myth. So how do we do it? How do we actually grow? How do we experience growth in our lives? How do you accomplish things? You know how? Healthy habits. Healthy habits. Like, think about it. Let's apply it to those areas. If I wanted to be physically fit, if I really wanted to get in shape, how am I going to do it? Well, I need to consistently eat better, right? I need to probably get more sleep. I need to start consistently working out. And if I develop these habits, then in a short while, I'm going to be in better shape than I was. Or let's say I really did want to get good grades. Well, how do you get better grades? Well, I developed the habits of studying, of maybe memorizing, of reading a little bit more. And if I develop these habits, then in a short time, I'm going to get better grades than I used to get. Or let's say you want a better marriage. How are you going to have a better marriage? Well, you start going on dates, you start listening to one another, maybe you start forgiving a little bit more, and you develop these habits, and pretty soon, in a couple weeks, you're going to have a better marriage than you had a couple weeks before. If you want to eat, wanting to is not going to do anything. But you would actually have to take some steps to put some food into your belly. And the same is true with growing spiritually. If we want to grow to be more like God, if we want to grow to know more about God, then we need to install some habits into our life. If growing spiritually is the goal, the only way to get there is by developing healthy habits. So what I want to do with the remaining time that we have left is I want to talk about three habits. And there's probably 50 or more that we could talk about today. But I'm going to contend that if you'll follow these three habits, that in a short time, in your spiritual life, a couple of weeks from now, you're going to say, wow, you know what? I've grown. I'm a little bit more like Jesus now. I know a little bit more about God. So we're going to talk about three of them. The first one that I want to talk about is reading your Bible. And I'm going to guess that for some of you in here, you may have never even opened the Bible. Maybe you've opened it a couple of times. And so saying that is like a super daunting task. Like, oh my goodness, that thing is huge. Where would I even start? And so with each of these habits that we're going to talk about today, what I want to do is I want to give you a couple of tools to help you develop these habits. So with reading the Bible, the first tool that I want to give you is our Verve Catalyst blog. If you go to vervecatalyst.org, every single day, we'll put on there a link to a chapter in the Bible. And then we'll write a post that kind of helps explain that chapter. And even in there, there's a place where you can put your email address, and then every morning, it'll just send it to you. You don't even have to go online. It'll just, boop, be right there in your inbox, on your phone or whatever. And you can click on the link, and then you can read the post will be in the email. And it's easy as that. And so that way, if you're like, I wouldn't even know what I'm reading, it'll help explain it. And as you grow in that, and as your desire to read more of the Bible, I want to give you another tool. When you came in, you were given a little card. And on the front of that card, it says, say what, so what, now what. If you happen to miss it on your way out, you can grab one at the Velcro Bar at the Welcome Center. But on the front of that card, it says, say what, so what, now what. And as you begin to discover more, and as you begin to explore the Bible on your own, you can use this tool to kind of help discover what the Bible is saying. Say what? What is the context? What is the Bible? What's the author of this? What's actually going on? What's the Bible saying? So what? What are the life principles that the Bible is teaching? And now what? How does this affect my life? So what I want to do, I want to take 2 minutes, and we're going to do this with Scripture so you can see what I'm talking about. And see, it's not like there's not some deep-rooted, you know, whatever. It's just you can use this as a tool. So let's say you're reading. If you just open the Bible the very middle, you'll probably come to a book, the Book of Psalms. It's a collection of a bunch of music that was written thousands of years ago. And so let's look at Psalm 119, starting in verse 9. It says this. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So let's use these three, say what, so what, now what. So if you were looking at that, you read that, okay, so say what. What is this actually saying? Well, this is saying that the author of this passage has found that for him, a way and a pathway to God is by keeping the law. So this was written by a Jewish guy, and all he had was the first couple books of the what we now call the Bible. But for him, that was the law of God. And he says, okay, if I want to stay on a path to God, the way to do that is by memorizing what that law says so I can know the right things to do. All right, so if that's true, so what? Well, that means memorizing the Bible will help keep me on a pathway to God. It'll get me closer to God. It'll help me grow to be more like Jesus, help me to grow to know more about Jesus. So now what? Well, then now I need to start memorizing the Bible. I need to commit more of that to my life. So it's just, it's super easy. And as you go, you'll find that it'll pull you in deeper. You'll find deeper meaning into things. And you can just use this as a tool to help you read Scripture, because reading Scripture will help you grow in your spiritual life. It'll help you to know more about God and to become more like His Son. The second healthy habit that I want to talk about is prayer. Again, I recognize there are probably some people in this room who have never prayed before, or maybe the extent of your prayer life is, help me Jesus, you know, when you're stuck in a situation or something. So how do you pray? What does that even mean? Well, one time, Jesus was explaining prayer to some people, and this is what he said, so we're just going to quote Jesus here. He says, well, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. A couple things about this. First of all, notice he's not saying, if you decide to, or when you get stuck in a really bad position and you find yourself in need of prayer. No, the Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. The idea that Jesus is trying to connote here is that it's a conversation. It's something that happens all the time. So how do we do it? Well, here's the tool that I wanted to give to you on the back side of that card. And I suggest just use that card as a bookmark in your Bible. That way it's just kind of always around when you're thinking about this kind of stuff. On the back side, there's a mnemonic device to help kind of give you guidance as you pray. Really quick, how do you spell mnemonic? Does it start with a P or an M? Who thinks it starts with a P? Who thinks it starts with an M? It's an M! Oh, most of you are wrong. You need to go back to school. Just kidding. Sorry, just quick break. Okay, so we got this device, this acronym, PRAY. P. P stands for praise. You'll notice Jesus says, you know, you've forgiven our debts. He's, you know, thanking God for the things in his life. We need to praise God for what he has done for us. R, request. Notice Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. And I suggest, even if you're new at this, I suggest, man, just lay it all out on the line. Yeah, ask God for whatever. And what's going to happen is that over time, you'll start to understand the places that God is asking you to grow. That as you learn how to have this conversation with God, you'll understand, oh, okay, this is something I need to request to God. This is something I need God's help in my life. Jesus, you know, like I said, he prayed for our daily bread. He prayed for just his daily needs. Man, God, give me enough to get through this day. A, we need to acknowledge. We need to acknowledge the person that we're talking to. Jesus says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And that word hallowed, I know it's a strange word. We don't really use it. President Lincoln used it in his Gettysburg Address, right? He said, we cannot hallow this ground. The soldiers have already done this. It means like set apart. It means, you know, we can't make this place any more special. That's what President Lincoln was saying. And so for us, Jesus is saying, your name is so special, we can't use it for anything else. It can only mean you. And we say, God, you can be the only thing that we're talking about. It's that set apart. It's that special. And that we need to recognize who it is that we're talking to. And last, the Y stands for yield. That we need to yield to his will. Notice Jesus says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's saying, not everything I want. So here's everything I want, God, but ultimately, I leave it up to you. And I will yield to the fact that what you want to have happen, that's what I want for my life. So the second habit, if we want to grow to be more like Jesus and to grow to know more about him, is through prayer. And the third habit that I think we can develop is simply coming to church. And simply being here every week. And I know you might be thinking, that's a habit? Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews. It says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Saying, instead of having the habit of not coming, you need to have the habit of getting together. Now, I can totally understand that some of you are probably in disbelief that you're even here right now, that maybe 3 months ago, you never would have thought that you'd have been sitting in a church on a Sunday morning. So I recognize even coming a little bit, it can be a stretch. But you know what the Bible calls people who want to follow Jesus? It calls them his body. And I think this is a perfect analogy for growth when you're talking about spiritual growth, because that growth, learning to be more like Jesus, learning more about God, can only happen in community. Because that body, think about it, if I were to chop off my finger and just bloop and just lay it there, aside from writhing in pain and running off the stage, that finger, eventually it'll die. I mean, it just lay up here and it'll start to rot, and a couple weeks it'll be really stinky, and it'll experience absolutely no growth. And on my body where that was cut off, it'll experience no growth. It'll be stunted. And it's the very same thing with us and this body, that we need each other. We need it. We need to be here so that we can experience that growth from the body, and the body needs us so that we can contribute to the health of the body. We were not meant to experience spiritual growth apart from community. It has to happen together. And you know, there are a ton of other habits that we could talk about. Even here at this church, we offer more resources in those three things. Verve University starts tonight. Sign up. If you've never been to a Verve University class before, there's one called Verge. It's fantastic. It'll answer a ton of your questions, help you set up these healthy habits for growth. We are doing one called My Body, God's Temple, Really? And it's all about developing healthy habits. And both of those start tonight. Stop by the Velcro Bar on your way out. They can answer more questions. You can sign up for it. And through Verve University, you'll have the opportunity to sign up for a microgroup. That's another one of the resources we offer here. A microgroup is just a group of 3 to 5 people who meet together and try to grow in this community, try to experience this spiritual growth together. In a few weeks, we're doing the Verve retreat, the Velvet Awakening. And if you haven't signed up for that, stop by the Velcro Bar on your way out. Sign up. It's all about how to live a healthy life, how to have this healthy spiritual life. And so I'm guessing that somewhere inside of you, you have recognized, yes, there's this life. There's a life that Jesus can give, and I want it. I want access to it, and maybe you just don't know how to do that. And I'm telling you, if you follow those three habits, if you begin to develop these habits in your life of reading the Bible, of praying, and of coming to church regularly, in a short amount of time, and a few weeks from now, you're going to go, wow, you know, I'm different. I've grown a little bit. I see the world in a little different place. And it'll be because you've grown to be more like Jesus, and you'll grow to know more about God. I mean, let's say you had a seed. Let's say you had a seed in your hand, and you really wanted it to grow. You're like, man, this could be a giant, you know, oak tree. But is that going to grow just because you want it to? No. But if you find some nice soil and you dig it far enough and you make sure it's going to get plenty of sunshine, you make sure it's going to get plenty of moisture, is that seed going to grow? Yeah. Now, did you make it grow? No, you didn't make it grow. Nature did, right? It's because it's what it was made to do. And it's the same as true. We can't force ourselves, just like trying to fall asleep. You can't force yourself to do it, but you can develop habits. Growing spiritually, you can develop habits that God can use to help you grow. Interestingly enough, you know what Jesus said following him is like? Rest. Listen to what he says in the book of Matthew. Quoting Jesus, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I'm going to guess that somewhere in this room, somewhere inside of you, you said, yeah, I want that. I believe there's a life that can be accessed, and I just don't know how to do it, but I really want to. Today, you can begin to develop those habits that will bring you growth, that'll lead you to know more about God and to be more like his son. And it's as natural as sleep. Every week, We have to give you time to just to think about that. And so we're going to give you a few minutes right now, and I'm going to challenge you. If you've never prayed before, never, ever, I want you to spend the next few moments, give it a shot. You got a resource tool right there. Go through it. Start by thanking God. Start by asking him for stuff. Start by acknowledging who it is in this relationship you're trying to develop, and then say, okay, I'm going to give this a shot, God, so bring it on. I'm going to challenge you to do that. Start developing those healthy habits. The band's going to come up, and they're going to play a song, and I just want to give you time to do that. During that time, we're also going to make communion available, and that's just a time for you to reflect on your relationship with God. Communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that reminds us of the sacrifice that he made so that we could experience this life. So I'm going to pray, and the band's going to come up, and I challenge you to start practicing those habits.